Warning. ProTri News is a podcast with different opinions, knowledge and possibly fake news about triathlon racing. This is not for the faint of heart. If you get offended by what is said, please stop listening and go listen to some uplifting meditation music or just go work out and try again. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and some stories may be dramatized for comedic effect. Enjoy.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of ProTri News. I'm your host, Kyle Glass, joined today by Calvin Cox.
How are we keeping? It was a great weekend, and I am super, super, super excited to head over to Oceanside. Usually, on a standard year, we would say triathlon week is officially here. Triathlon season is officially here, kicking off with Oceanside, but it's already kicked off. So, lots of racing going on already. So, there we are, but I'm excited. Oceanside is a historical race in triathlon, so it's going to be a great week.
And I'm going the first time I get to go to Oceanside.
So that's true.
Super
that's
excited. True. Patrick Lemieux also heading to Oceanside. Late in, early out.
Yep. I want to toot my own horn here. I was also the top performer this weekend in our family. So I know we're going to talk about this podium performance, you know, from Levon. But guys, I just want everyone to know that I got second in my age group at my mountain bike race yesterday. So lost super happy about it.
Gwen's messing around, getting third place, embarrassing the family. You're off picking up the goods.
Seriously. So, you know, that was it. But no, we had a really fun day. You know, went to the mountain bike race and then Stanley asked me, he goes, "Are you going to stay for the podium, Dad?" And I said, "No, dude, we got to get home and watch mom's race." And he goes, "Okay." So we were out of there.
Selfless.
So awesome. And Mark Matthews. Mark, how you doing?
I'm all good. Yeah. Had a good weekend. Packed up. We're driving to Bjorn Giesemann, Cat's coach's new wind tunnel. The aero in Germany. Well, I'm driving. Cat's flying and I'm picking her up when she lands. So that's what I've been up to. And I made a little Instagram reel for you, Kyle, about putting a bike tire on by hands because you were blown away by some bloke doing it.
I just get caught up in the whole Instagram reels and stuff. And then I think I saw one of a guy putting a wheel tire on and I said it to you and you're like, dude, that's like a Tuesday for me.
I think Pat said he could do it with his eyes closed. So I was like, right, I've got a new tire coming out. So I took it and I did it in one take. I must admit, if I'd messed that up and it had taken me ages, I'd have just deleted the video and pretended it never existed. It went straight on. And I've just had a look. 300 hours people have watched that for in total. Some bloke putting a bike tire on. We are such a boring species now, aren't we?
Golly. So amazing. Well, we've had some exciting racing. We missed last week recording. We kind of went through and we're like, we want to do more quality rather than quantity. So if there's a lot of random short distance races, then we're not really going to cover it. Or if it's a 70.3 that doesn't really have a whole lot of substance, then we're going to pass on it. So if you want to go back and look through, 70.3 Campeche happened, also Conti Cup in Portugal, World Cup in Hong Kong, which turns out everyone and their dog got sick from racing at that race in Hong Kong. I mean, Vicky Holland even said like it was a miracle that she was even able to race the prelims in the World Cup in Levon because she was so sick last week. So
I will say, just on Campeche, the only interesting thing there I thought was, by all accounts, the bike course was just hella dangerous, completely unworkable. Every pro was talking about it. They had riders going the wrong way, coming like opposite sides of the road. They had like aid stations on the left hand and the right hand side of an open road. Just carnage. So before you sign up for Campeche again, maybe just check they've got that stuff sorted if you're thinking about racing it.
Yeah. 70.3 Geelong, also Hell of the West. And then, I mean, I kind of want to dive into this race that happened this weekend, Pat, that your wife Gwen raced, just because it was such a unique race and race course. Sure, we've seen like the indoor triathlons before, the Super League and then the Super Tri Esports World Champs coming up in London here in a couple weeks' time. But this indoor World Cup in Levon, they had 5,000 athletes that they sold tickets for. So obviously...
I know, spectators. 5,000 spectators.
That's crazy. I mean, when do you see someone selling tickets for a triathlon, let alone having 5,000 people? Like,
Well, they turned it into a bit of a music event as well, by the sounds of it. They had live bands on. It's obviously an indoor athletics track with a stadium around it and a swimming pool in the middle. And that's the format. So you know, there's no none of this e-stuff. It's happened before, but this was a real success, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody that was talking, that was following the race, they, you know, there were a lot of people that just said they liked that format, right? And I didn't realize how many people were watching it around the world until they were just saying to me, like, hey, like this format's super cool. We had a handful of people over at my house watching it as well, and they said the same thing. They're like, oh, this is just the format we really like. So when you can kind of get through and realize, like, okay, prelim, semifinals, then there's a last chance qualifier, and then the final, I think that that's something that everybody can get on board with. And the facility, just hearing from Gwen to say when she, as an athlete, where she was staying at, it's essentially a sports hotel. So she was staying on site all week, and in between the prelims, she could go back to her hotel room, spin on her pit bike, and, you know, do just hang out and relax in the room. So she said that that was a super fun event, and she was really happy she went. And I think, you know, just to share something else that she said to me, you know, that I shared with the group privately, was just, she goes, you know, after Abu Dhabi, it felt like all the sport was dead, but this race brought a lot of hope back into triathlon for me, just the health of the sport and how it looked. So yeah, I think we all agree. We hope that they use this venue for years to come.
An Ironman. Put an Ironman on that venue. The 200-meter run loops. I as well, I've got to say again, World Triathlon, I think, do the best broadcast of the triathlon lot. Yeah, you can say, oh, Jan Frodeno is a better commentator than like Helen Jenkins. It's fine, because they've paid to get the big name. But they had time splits up, they had a lap board up. You know, even though, yes, it's small laps, so visually it's engaging. Like, the actual stuff they show makes sense. It's just better. I don't know why it's so hard for the others to manage it when they have the data.
Yeah. I went to the Super League event in Montreal last year, Stadium Arena Games, and it was a lot of fun. And even seeing this event, it looked even 10 times bigger than that. I mean, looked absolutely phenomenal, super engaging. And I'm the biggest advocate for the PTO and the 100K distance, to even if it could ever even make it to the Olympics, it'd be a dream. But once I watched yesterday, if there's any shot at getting another triathlon in the Olympics, how could you not go with that distance and that format? It was incredible.
Yeah, it's another venue, I guess, possibly. But yeah.
So super, super exciting. And,
Well, should we do the results before we hop into the rest of the show in terms of actually who won and who did what? Because it was super interesting on a couple of stages. So Vettel Thorn took the win, Vincent Louis second, and Casper Storns third. Right, is it Storns or Stornes?
Casper
It's Storns, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, the commentators kept saying Stornes. I was like, where have you got this extra syllable from? But we are we cannot judge name pronunciation, so I wasn't sure.
We'll move on from that. I mean, yeah, I got to gas up my boy McCall Eden. I mean, he's coached these two phenomenal athletes, and now they're on the upper echelon of maybe potentially having three slots for the Olympics with the Norwegian boys.
Yeah, I mean, Stornes had the fastest run of the day in the final, which was, he came from quite a long way back. Vettel Thorn, he had a broken toe most of the time, didn't he? I know it's only a short event, but that affects. And Vincent Louis is just real good at this short stuff. The men's doesn't tell as much for the rest of the season, except those boys are really spicy on the short stuff.
Yeah.
On to the women.
Yeah.
Gwen Jorgensen took home third place, which, I'll be honest, I was surprised about. Not that she can run that fast, or I just didn't think the format would suit her with some of the transition stuff we've seen recently and just the sheer snappy nature of it. But third place, and she came from a long way back on the run. She had the fastest run as well.
She was last on the run.
Yeah, I mean, there you go, yeah. And then she ran her way up to third, and she was breathing down hot on Georgia Taylor Brown, who was in second fastest run of the day. And then Laura Lindemann, she was just good through transition, good on the bike, good positioning, and really strong on the run. So Laura Lindemann took the win. I thought it was really... I mean, I got to say, the women's riding wasn't visually spectacular compared to the men's. The pace difference, if you look at the times, I think the men dealt with the technicality of the track and the positioning and stuff on the bike with the women. I mean, except for the likes of Kathia Shah, I thought she was brilliant, the Swiss girl, really strong.
In the semi-final, yep.
Yeah, just dialed in, looked the part, didn't she? And rode the lines brilliantly. So yep. All in all, I loved it.
Pat, yep. we just got to say this real quick, because I've said this a couple times in some group threads, and I think I get some eye rolls, but... Gwen now has 7 World Cup podiums within the last calendar year. I mean, if a year ago, after what 14th place at the World Cup in New Zealand, like if we would have said Gwen Jorgensen is going to get 7 World Cup podiums after that performance, I think people already had her written off. And now she's like, I mean, everyone seems to be very excited for her racing in.
I think Gwen would be shocked that if she said I was going to have to travel to 7 World Cups and how many ever she's had to, you know, fly around the world to in the last 12 months, that's probably the bigger shock.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is you could zoom out and go, okay, this is a developmental step, and performing at World Cups is probably step number one to being able to now, you know, get in. Now she's earned the right to just get quick entry into World Series. She doesn't have to wait for start list to clear. So this is the part that she's earned, where she's now ranked in the top 5, and she gets the auto entries into, you know, World Series Yokohama coming up, which is an opportunity to earn an Olympic spot. So yeah, hats off. I know she's my wife, but she's done it the hard way, and she's put in a ton of airline miles and a ton of traveling to get the points to be on the board. So super proud. She said about the performance this weekend, she was like, she goes, what do you think? And I said, well, you were either going to get knocked out in the semis, or you were going to, I thought you'd, you know, podium with a shot at winning. And, you know, you got, she was sniffing the win. And I think it was good. And it was good for her to exercise the, I don't know, the race sharpness 3 times in a row. So
yeah.
Cool. Can we do a little bit of business? Can we talk about our amazing partner, TeleRX, and some really exciting timing that we've aligned here? You can now access TeleRX in California. So if you're going to Oceanside and you're trying to be proactive, you don't want to get sick, or in case you do get sick, you want to feel better. But I'm going to just go through a few things that I've got packed that I ordered from TeleRX that I will be bringing to Oceanside. High strength ibuprofen. I might be running all over this race course on Saturday, and I might be completely sore on the flight home. Got that. Okay, we're going to help me out with some pronunciation here, guys. We've got azithromycin. On the off chance that I get diarrhea, I'd like it to stop as soon as possible. I'm going to be taking one of these bad boys. Okay. And then here we go. Let's just say I've got severe vomiting as well. Right? We ate somewhere weird in the morning. I've got an Odanistron that I'm going to take to help with that as well. So those are the 3 things that I'm bringing with me to Oceanside. And I would recommend that now it's available, people go hop on TeleRX and check it out.
Get it shipped right to your E.
Yes. And remind everybody of our code that they can use for 20% off.
PTN.
There you go.
PTN. Wow. Do they have Triactin on there?
I think that might be the best ad read we've ever done. Pat's planning on shitting himself, vomiting everywhere, and snapping a kneecap in Oceanside. I mean, what an ad read. Right, what's up next?
70.3 Oceanside.
Isn't it?
This is something interesting that I want to say real quick. It goes to show how dominant Ironman is. If you took the Miami start list and you just transferred it to Oceanside, people would be shitting their pants. This is the most competitive.
Not with TeleRX.
70.3 we've not with TeleRX though. This is the most competitive 70.3 we've ever seen. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I mean, it would be, you'd never seen a 70.3 start list that big ever. Sorry. And when I mean big, I don't mean in numbers. I mean in depth of field. But no one seemed to care about Miami. But everyone is freaking out about this race. So it shows you Ironman is still the king.
This is when we've got to go back to the episodes we talked about back in the fall. We've got on record somewhere of us, you know, talking about that there were going to be over 100 pros racing, right? And yeah. The last we checked, there's roughly 80 men. I think it was 81 men and 39 women. And it's our understanding that they've capped it at 120 because they've got a limit on how many race ranger devices are available. So to think that we're going to have 80 men and 40 women in Oceanside to me is still a little mind-boggling. And I think we'll certainly, I have to think that having 80 men is going to play into how this race unfolds, especially for the people that are maybe not the dominant swimmers and have to pass 30, 40, even 50 people on the bike. And that will impact this race somehow.
I mean, some of that is quite narrow to start. And Sam Long could legit have to pass 40 or 50 people. Like, if not more. I wonder how many people Taylor Nibb's going to catch in the swim. Is it 5 minutes? She's catching some of these people in the swim. There are pro men getting caught, and then she'll chomp through some more of them on the bike, for sure. This big start list thing, I was going to cover as a hot take, because I think that needs to be talked about. But I see what you're saying, Tal, but people are excited for this, more so than Miami. I'm not sure. I think Miami just became a bit, it was this white elephant. We didn't know exactly what it was going to be. We thought it would be 20 of the best versus 20 of the best, and then all the wild cards came in, and then the broadcast was good, but not great. And maybe it just fell under the expectation, the hype they've created for itself. Whereas there's no real hype from Ironman. There's a few posts about the series. So that maybe is it expectation management, or do you think it is literally hype? Do you think they are really just like, they prefer this still?
I just see a lot of noise in regards to this race. I
agree. Yeah, I agree.
So let's talk about it from the athlete side. Are you more of a legend if you win, you know, if you won PTO Miami, or are you more of a legend if you win Oceanside? Like,
when you're in Miami every time. Think about Tamara Dewitt won Oceanside last year. No one really remembers that.
Okay.
You know, she got a couple of Instagram posts. Suddenly everyone knows who's in the Indy League. Yeah. People didn't necessarily know. They didn't necessarily know Tamara Dewitt.
Yeah, you're fair.
I mean, it's 1,000 followers on Instagram for win 70.3 Oceanside.
And I think too, it's a start. It even is a start for T100. Is that next year people will be more, season's back, series is back. You know what I mean? Every time you kick something off, it's a little bit harder to get it off the ground. So
I also think the problem with starting the series with a 70.3 is that the 70.3 doesn't matter anywhere near as much as the Ironman does. And you don't really know who's doing the series until you start seeing them tip up at Ironman races. So half the battle that the Ironman, I think, struggle with is you don't really know who's actually doing the series. And the other point is that the Oceanside, you can tick off four of these in the year and try and find your best. The Ironman races, you kind of have to hit three and hit them well. So I would maybe have started with an Ironman race if I was Ironman. But
so that's going to be the biggest problem in this. The Ironman series, it's great that they allow everybody to race, but they're really going to struggle to tell a year-long narrative as athletes are coming and going from the races that are convenient to them or convenient to their schedule.
Yeah.
We're not going to know till the very, I mean, like to the very end of what's actually happening in the series based on who's truly participating and racing in it.
Yeah, I mean, you'll know if you really care, you'll know after Texas will be a good indicator. A few people will do Hamburg for the women or whatever the men's one is. Like once those two have gone, you're not doing the series because you can't get three Ironman races in after that. So I guess you can probably tell by that point, but like that's not an advertisable fact, is it? Not something to do your media around.
Yeah, And to help people understand a little bit as well, this year, last year's race was a silver tier race, and Ironman has announced all pro Ironman series events. Sorry, not Ironman has announced. PTO has announced. Don't even know if they've announced this, actually. It might be leaking something, but oh well. That it is a gold level event. And so therefore...
I'm sure they want us to tell everyone about that, Talbot. Shall we just go with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. I mean,
yeah,
I don't really think they care either, because they're not going to sit there and promote Ironman events, but they've announced, including the prize money, that the Ironman Pro Series events will be gold tier events. So to give everyone some context, last year's strength of field for the woman was 87, and Tamar Jute won the race and got 87 points at a silver tier race. This year, the strength of field as it sits right now is 89. So with a gold tier race, you can get some good points. And this is why that this is important. There is a lot we have talked about on this podcast a lot of times. There's a lot of pros that are still very upset of how they can get into the PTO series, and they want to know how. And PTO has just made it very clear, these are gold level events. Do good at the Ironman series 70.3s. You will move up in the rankings, and you will get an invite to the PTO T100 series.
Yeah, and then to finish out the rest of the changes before we go back to some picks, because Talbot's opened the door, so why not? So like he says, they're all gold tour events, excluding the Ironman World Champs and the 70.3 World Champs. The 70.3 World Champs has moved up to diamond tier now because they've increased the prize pot, which is a super good change. I just think that race deserves the status that it does. And Ironman, I guess, have done it maybe deliberately with the increase in prize pot. They touch on some stuff about family challenge events, but really what they say is it's just based on the prize money as it used to be. And then Challenge Rothen, the World Triathlon Long Distance Championships, will move down to gold tier because they basically backdoored it in, but they didn't really have any right to it. They weren't stumping up enough cash, or it wasn't high profile enough. And then the other last one is the 5% bonus you used to get for your first gold tier long distance event. So basically any Ironman that wasn't the world champs, you used to get a 5% bonus. Now it's, you get a 5% bonus to any gold tier event you complete. So on top of this, so this is the gold tier event. This might be the only gold tier event Taylor Nib does all year, but she'll get a 5% point bonus on this. This could be her best score. You know, like this could be a really, really good score for her, especially if she puts a 5-minute winning margin in, as she might do. Like, I think what they've done is actually stop a bit of that. Like Talbot says, it's not a closed league. This makes it a bit more of an open league. Because if you're rolling around at 15 in the PTO races, or you go and win three gold tier events with decent fields for the Ironman, you're in.
Yep. Yeah, it was a great press release that we saw. I mean, they didn't do a press release, but we saw the information and we all agreed. We're like, they nailed it. That was perfect.
Yeah. And it's exciting too. And I do believe not for the T100 series into the year rankings world championship, for the PTO rankings, which is additional payout pool at the end of the year, someone like Patrick Lang can still win that.
100%.
I mean, yeah, he cannot do a single T100 series event all year long and win the PTO rankings. So
the soft score for Kona could still be as the highest soft score for the men all year, because you get the wild cards in the other races, except for the grand final. Let's see how many people make it to the grand final. That could be ridiculous and a game changer. But yeah, I agree. There's definitely ways you can do that. You win 70.3 worlds and the Ironman World Champs. That's two platinum events. Job done.
Yeah, definitely.
Should we touch on the race? Who's racing?
Let's get into some. Let's do that and get into some picks.
For the women, you have Taylor Nib, Paula Finley, Emma Pallant-Brown, Tamar Jewett, Fennell Langridge, Grace Thack.
I mean, we're going to be here for...
We could be here for a while if I read everything.
Minutes if we start reading names.
Yeah, read all 120 names out.
All right.
Well, at least they're mostly bloody Americans, so you'll get the names right.
the woman's race is really exciting. It's really cool to see Taylor Nib. It's very clear that Taylor Nib is coming here for one reason and one reason alone. It's to go ahead and get her qualification for 70.3 World Championship later on this year. Other than that, I don't see why Taylor's showing up to this race. And I believe that she'll do that. I believe that she has to complete the race, right,
Pat? She has to complete the race, but can she get beaten? Like, is there any chance I mean, we know Paula's good, we know Emma's good, we know Tamara can run, but on that course, is anyone hanging with Taylor on the bike or the swim even?
I would say
it's going to be interesting because we don't know if it'll be a harbor swim or if it's going to be an ocean swim.
Well, I think that will be interesting for Taylor because if it's a harbor swim, she'll enter the lead within the first second. And if it's an ocean, if it's a beach start, she'll enter the lead within 2 seconds and she'll probably stay in the lead for the rest of the day.
I mean, Lauren Brandon's racing, so at least she might have some company to swim.
Vanilla might be able to swim with her.
Yeah, Fenella start of last year. Yeah, not Kona Fenella swim, but I'm sure she's back swimming well. She'll give it a good go, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Laura Brandon.
So I take it we're all picking Taylor Nebb.
Well, I think so.
Mark, talk, because I actually don't know the answer to this. So if you're in the case that there's going to be 80 men racing, and whether you're, I'm assuming basically the front 1 to 3 women are going to pass a lot of men on the bike.
I mean, it happened in Oceanside last year, this year.
The drafting rules apply.
They're as the same. It's not like the lap out policy in the PTO race. It's just 12 meters.
Okay, so to any person. So it is something that you have to be very cognizant of and aware of as you're proceeding.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I'm not wrong on that. I've never seen a rule that suggests you can't. The problem is if you catch a couple of men in the swim, so it won't affect Taylor because she's an absolute gun. But like, if you have some terrible men swimming and Taylor's off front solo, but then some terrible men, they can ride bikes better. You know, men,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I was going to say. Yep.
If they start towing the likes of, I'm not going to do names because I'm not implying any of these women would do it deliberately, but this is always a worry in races, like bad pro men dragging up the second pack of women. Yeah.
Yep. And I just even think too, like you're a lead female and you're trying to just ride your race. And then you've got a male that you've essentially passed or lapped and they keep trying to like, you know, they're just doing an accordion effect with you because they're insecure about them being passed already. And so you're like, they're impacting your race just by being essentially in the way. Right. And it's
there was a young lad that got in the group that Kat was in the lead group last year. And he was a pro. It was like his first pro race. And Slow Twitch went to town on him. So I had to get on there and defend him. Like Kat said, by the way, you were absolutely fine. You know, he just sat on the back of the group. Like, what else is the lad supposed to do? It's if you start re-overtaking him. If you're a pro male slotting into the women's group, you need to have a look at yourself in the mirror and probably pull over. Yeah, this would be my take on it.
Another interesting thing we mentioned on here plenty of times before, but this will be the first, I would say, very large field that we have seen with Race Ranger. And just as we said before, the 15-meter draft rule with Race Ranger, it keeps you at that distance. But the 12-meter draft will be interesting because, or sorry, 20. The 12-meter will be interesting because a lot of athletes probably ride more than 12 meters. But this makes it to where they will probably come up and ride closer to 12 meters as they're able to see with Race Ranger. So you could potentially even see guys riding closer together, but as long as there's no blinking lights. But then we have also heard, too, that when those officials see the red blinking lights, they're hitting start on a stopwatch. If they see more than 5 seconds, penalty. They're going to be handing them out like Christmas morning.
I really hope they go nuts for penalties here. I hope Ron and his team just fire off 50 penalties. Because it just sets a precedent, right? It's like, straight away, don't fuck around. Right, sorry, Pat, I've been trying so hard not to swear because your dad swore so much on the last show and I did swear too much. Oh, I've ruined it. I've really been trying.
We made it 28 and a half minutes.
So close.
That's a record, Mark. That's a record.
Congratulations. Oh, thanks, boys. I don't even know what I was saying. I've ruined it. I'm out.
No, anyway,
that's a precedent for Texas, doesn't it? It's like, you cannot take the mickey with this draft rule.
Yeah.
You know,
agree.
Talk to us about, Mark, the effort that it will take if you're a poor swimmer, a poor male swimmer in this case. And imagine, you know what the course is like. You've settled into the race. You're at kilometer 5, kilometer 10, and you're ready to start passing some people, but you see a line of dudes 30 plus deep. Like, what does that actually, what will the athletes be thinking about that need to make that committed move? Yeah, Talbot?
Before Mark goes, just when you're envisioning this, people think of Sam.
I was going to say, why are we not saying his name?
What's going through there? Let's go.
Hey, don't bring Trevor into this, guys.
Oh, yeah, Trevor as well. Well, Sam's long gone. Yeah, okay. Well, so they've got a time to make the pass, right? So he has X amount of time, 45 seconds, whatever it is, to make the pass. So if he's riding fast enough, he just crunches past on the right-hand lane. The problem is that when groups get that big, and some of those roads in Oceanside are quite narrow, there's like a little cut through on a path, and then there's like, it is quite narrow at points. They start overtaking each other, right? So
of course,
you're not overtaking 30 people in a nice line on the left. You've got people overtaking, and you're just holding line. He's almost got to shout. And I don't think it would be unfair, given how good he was in Miami, for Iron Man to give bloody Sam Long his only moto and just to blast past people like push left or right or whatever side of the road you're on. Yep. Push right. Because it's a challenge, definitely. And the risk isn't the getting caught drafting. It's the people pulling out to do stuff themselves.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, it's an incident that we had at St. George where you've passed 15 or 20 people. And now you're in you've come to a heart, another challenging part on the course, right? You're on a hill now. You've just been doing insane power. And now you got to go up a hill. And the person that you're overtaking decides to overtake the person in front of them. And then you've got to commit and be like, well,
yeah,
now I got to go.
I think it could be carnage. I mean, the women's field's big enough. You know, we don't get women's fields in 70.3s like that. There could be a real pack in the back of that. But I think for the likes of Sam, this will be tricky. But we'll see. Yeah. The big movers you expect to see moving through. Lionel looks like he's swimming a little bit better than Sam, so he should be out ahead in the swim. But the big movers are Trevor Foley. I mean, Joe Skipper, he can sometimes swim and sometimes he's awful. So we don't know which Joe we'll get to see. Hopefully he's done a bit of swimming at some local Masters Club somewhere, probably. Legend. But it could be him, Trevor Foley, and Sam Long doing big movement through that field, yeah.
Let's move into the men's. The men's strength of field score this year is 85 compared to 84s last year. Kyle, who do we have?
All right, ready? 180 names. Sam Long, Patrick Lang, Lionel Sanders, Trevor Foley, Joe Skipper, Jackson Laundrie, Mark Dubrick, Chris Lieferman, Braden Curry, Thomas Rodriguez, Matt Hansen, Florian Angert, Nicholas Quinet, Matt Sharp. I think I'm about out of breath.
Yeah, I think you've covered all the hitters there. Oh, no, Yelagins as well.
Yelagins.
For some reason, he's on the bottom of the list there, but Yelagins is also racing. That's a really good field. It does look like more like an Ironman race field, though, doesn't it? That could be an Ironman field.
I think that people got excited and sprung the second they saw Patrick Lang and Joe Skipper's name, but they forget. Patrick Lang hasn't won a 70.3 since before COVID, and Joe Skipper has actually never won a 70.3 in history.
That's amazing to me, yeah. But then you've got loads of – you've got Mark Dubrick on there. You've got Yelagins, I think, will take some serious beating. He's probably my pick for the win, to be honest. And Sam Long, though, like if he gets to the front of that race, I don't even think Yelagins can run with him the way he ran in Miami.
There's two people doing this race that have already won races before, Thomas Rodriguez and Sam Long. So those are two names that I would be looking out for doing really, really well in this race.
I've got an inside line that Yelagins is insanely fit and will without question win this race, and he will run a 67.
What? Not on that course. No way, Pat.
Seven.
Not on that course. If he runs a 67 on that course, I'm not saying.
Well,
I'm
sorry. Maybe they said he was in 67 shape. I mean,
what did Leo Bagere run last year?
Last year, Leo ran. He ran a 110.
Jason West ran a 107 last year, though.
Oh right. Wow. Well, shut up, Monk.
So I think that's the inside tip that I got just on, you know, kind of whose form is out of control. I think again we saw, I wasn't stalking the Strava, but I heard about it. We heard that Sam Long got into it basically 2 days after Miami, just went straight back into heavy training. And so
he does like 40-hour weeks anyway. So it's like,
yeah.
You know, is it that much?
And Yelagin's run is hot. The last time we've seen him run a 70.3 was at Indian Wells. He did receive a 5-minute drafting penalty, which he did serve. but Lionel Sanders beat Vincent Louis there. This was in Tesla Gate, and that Lionel ran a 109.18, and Yella Geens outran him by a full minute, 108.17.
On a golf course. With grass.
So if they come off toe-to-toe, Yella Geens wins by a minute as of this. This is a long time ago, but you get the point. It's going to be a very exciting race. But also look at the likes of, there is a lot of swimmer, pretty decent bikers in this race, Dylan Gillespie and all that, and Yella Geens will come out of the water with them and look to ride as a free ride on their wheels. So it'll be very interesting when you're Dylan Gillespie and all those other riders up there at the front. They had an impact at the St. George race last year. They stayed off the front also at the Florida race. Are they going to turn around and look at Yella and say, dude, this is your race, won't you come to the front? Or are they just going to keep him up there as long as they can? I mean, it will just be interesting to watch Yella's race tactics. If I'm him, I come out of the water, I sit on wheels until the run, and I say, see y'all later. So
screaming jelly beans as he run off.
Jelly beans!
Recently, anyway, that as well.
So of these people, like, who do we think, just very quickly, Ironman series, I presume you've got Joe Skipper there looking at, Trevor Foley's, Patrick Langer's looking at the series as well. Chris Leifman's looking at it. I'm guessing Braden Currie is. I assume Matt Hansen is. Florian Anger is. So you've actually got quite a few people starting their bid for the Ironman series there. On the women's side, the only ones I really know is Fenella Langridge. She's sort of announced she's doing the series. There's a few others, but no one I know. Maya Starge is doing the series as well. She's a good athlete. So you've got a few people starting their campaign for the 200 grand Ironman series in Oceanside.
Yeah, I think no matter what happens, we are in for a fantastic race. And I think our Oceanside recap show, we're going to be, you know, Paul, like, it's just going to be, we're still going to be doing backflips on how good both races were. So I'm excited to go check it out.
It's a fun venue. Pat, you've never been before, have you?
Never.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went last year. I really enjoyed it. I think it's a nice little place. It's Kat's texting me, so I may as well say what she's sending. Otherwise, I'm just ignoring her. She tells me not to forget Lauren Brandon for the Ironman Series for the win, given how well she swam and biked last year, especially. And she's shouting out Kate Curran as a dark horse in the women's race.
Wow, Kat. All right.
Not for the win, I'm assuming, Kat.
Yeah, but just...
We're saying, oh, she's throwing her hands up like that. So she's got Kate. No pressure, Kate Curran. I hope you listen to this, because Kat's got you pegged to absolutely smoke, Taylor Nibb.
That's awesome.
Did we pick podiums for the women's race, or we just pick winners?
Nah, my podiums, as it shows on the start list, I think, almost. Taylor Nibb, Paula Finley, Emma Pallant-Brown.
I'm going to go Taylor Nibb, Paula Finley, Tamara Jewett.
Yeah. Another interesting name that's not on the start list that we have seen every year start her season here is Holly Lawrence, which it just shows that she's really taken the T100 series seriously. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, yep. She's there. Well, men's race, who do we got for the win?
I just wish Sam Long could swim better. It'd be so easy to pick him here, because he just rips the legs off everyone on the bike.
But if there's ever a race that you want to be a bad swimmer at, it's this race. You have 80 guys that are going to be gap fillers.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, okay. Right, I'm going Sam Long. I'm doing it. I'm going Sam Long. And then there's a pack of behind him and Yella Geens and Jackson Laundry.
I'm going in no particular order, but we're going to see these three on the podium. It's going to be Yella Geens, Sam Long, and Lionel Sanders. We're going to see a
great battle. Lionel Sanders.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm putting him on the podium. Sorry, Jackson Laundry. I'm putting Lionel instead.
Yeah.
Even though you beat him last year, so just got a feeling.
Talbot's grinning ear to ear. Everyone's thinking Lionel. He just beside himself. He just can't.
Right. All I saw before the Miami race was, Mark Dubrich should get a wild card. Mark Dubrich should get a wild card. It was all over my, like, Americans commenting everywhere. Mark Dubrich should get a wild card. Why aren't you guys picking him?
I haven't picked him yet. He's my pick to win.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
You're pick to win.
I'm picking Mark Dubrich for the win.
Trevor, you might want to sign up.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got a chip on his shoulder for not being able to get into the T100 series. I think Mark Dubrich has what it takes to get the win. Trevor has voiced that he is focused on Ironman Texas. He had a pretty gnarly crash 2 weeks ago So still struggling a little bit with some things from that. I think that Trevor will run extremely well, but I just think overtaking 60 dudes on the bike, maybe even 70, will be a challenge.
I love the amount of justification you have to put in for not picking Trevor for the win, just because he's listening to this.
I know he's going to
pick. No one else gives a shit why you haven't picked him, but you know he's listening, so you've just spent 2 minutes just.
He's on a run right now, just getting pissed off listening to me say this, so... I'm going to go Mark Dubrick for the win, Sam Long second, and then Yelagin's third.
Tablet, what are we saying?
I think it's going to come down to Lionel Sanders, Yelagin's battle. Don't know who's going to win it. But
sprint finish? Rudy Von Berg style?
I'll just say this. There's going to be a very clear line on the ground for the sprint finish. And there's going to be cameras.
That's amazing. Kids. This is the best part. You guys ready for this? Because this race only has a $50,000 prize purse, there's 80 guys racing, right? Only 8 of them are getting paid.
Brilliant.
So you might have a gnarly sprint finish for 8th place because they want to make sure that they're getting paid for being at this race.
Wow. That's weak.
Pretty wicked.
80 guys.
So before we jump into... talking about some wild cards at the T100 race in Singapore.
When your workouts are hard, but you're not, get generic Viagra delivered discreetly to your door. TeleRx prioritizes your comfort and makes ordering prescriptions and meds a breeze. At less than 50 cents per pill, you won't find a better deal for generic Viagra or Cialis. No insurance hoops, no membership fees. Next day delivery is available on all orders placed before 2 p.m. EST. Please use code PTN at checkout for 20% off all products at TeleRx.com.
I recently started training again, but my workouts haven't been too hard. But
honestly, Pat, that opening line for an advert again made me laugh. I haven't heard an ad read for a long time. But I had to laugh out loud. That was very good.
Guys, let's get it. Let's start what people come here for. Let's do some damn hot takes.
Whoa.
Let's get into it.
Always just offending people in hot takes. That's what I love too.
You know, right. Let's go just on, get into it.
I'm gonna go.
I was gonna say. Go on.
All right, I'm gonna go first. The French know how to put on a triathlon. The Olympics for triathlon are gonna be incredible. The PTO is gonna be kicking themselves for not being able to get a race in France because they have proven that they love their sport.
What?
I can only assume it was a non-French person organizing it. I'm not having it. I'm not having a French person did something that good. No. Yeah, no, fair. It was really good. And I do think the Paris Olympics will be excellent as well. Not much of a hot take there, Carl. We all watched it. It was excellent.
It was a warm contrast. It was a warm take.
All right, I'll go. Iron Man Pro Series entry. Right, you've capped it at 120 people. This cannot be like booking yourself into a swimming lane during COVID. It's not first come, first serve. Like, pro sports should not work like that. So, especially if you then change the date, there's got to be a system around it. We can't just have athletes sat there at midnight waiting to start so that they can log on and get their entry. You need something like, if you are ranked top 20, you have automatic, or maybe you have a window that you can start entering earlier, or it's an offer-based system, or if there's too many entries, it reverts to current world rankings or something. But the likes of Arnold Guillo couldn't get an entry to Texas because he checked, it closes on this date, he went back on to check, they'd obviously bought the date forward, announced that, he'd missed that announcement, he'd missed the entry, they tell him it's full. This guy finished 12th or 15th or something at Ironman World Champs last year, and he can't get an entry to Ironman Texas to start the series. On Thorsten's predictions, he was predicted for the win. Like, Thorsten thought he would win the series. It was pretty flawed, the prediction. But, like, he now basically really struggles to get the series in. They've got to come up with something else. That's my hot take.
There's nothing hot about that one, Mark. We just file that under common sense. So
I think that they're creating as well more of an issue, because I believe with the ramifications of this last week, your future races now, they have no idea if they're even going to race, but hell, let's just throw our name on the list. So it's literally just going to make it worse after these two events.
Yeah, Katz entered 70.3 G-long in 2027, just to be safe. Just literally enter everything. Just like enter everything. Don't bother turning up. There's no penalty either for not turning up. If you know you're going to do three, or is it four? You pay for the year-long membership for the Ironman Pro. It doesn't cost you anything either. Just enter every Ironman race as soon as the window opens. It's ridiculous. Or you start penalizing people if they don't turn up. But then they'll use a medical excuse, etc. There needs to be a better system.
I'd be shocked if more than 65 guys starts Oceanside. We'll hit this next week, but I'll be shocked of 80 guys that registered if more than 65 guys start. So we'll see, or let alone 60 finish. You know, events is good Lord.
Yep. Yeah. There's not going to be more than
that. Yep. Go on, Pat. Sorry.
No, there's not going to be more than 70 start. Sorry.
No, we're terrible at that. There's some athletes there as well that will be an hour plus behind. But that's fine. You're a pro. We're not going to argue about all that stuff. But someone finishing an hour and a half behind in Texas shouldn't prevent someone coming that could potentially win the race. Like, there's got to be something better for that. And actually, I can't bring your name off the top of my head now. A pro was messaging our show, and he's a new pro, tail end. He would probably fall foul of that. Yet he still agrees it's the right thing to do. He was like, well, yeah, of course, I shouldn't take Patrick Langer's slot just because I entered early. It's ridiculous, for example.
Yeah.
American and British selection just got a lot harder. And I don't mean because they're going to take into account Levine, the triathlon in France. I mean because the performances are now closing up. Georgia Taylor Brown is clearly fit and healthy again. Gwen is clearly able to do transitions to a standard that means she's not going to get spat so fast. And those two nations, I think, have got the hardest selections with the Brit and American women, personally.
Yeah.
Only because the Germans bloody chose all three of theirs already, so...
I mean, the best thing that could happen is... I mean, do you know how exciting Yokohama is going to be? I just pray that Katie Zafiris gets on that start list so we just get to watch a battle between all these U.S. women that don't care about anyone else in the race. They're all going for that podium and they're going for each other's throats. I mean, it's going to be amazing.
I don't see any of them. Well, no, I do see the one. I'm going to keep talking about Gwen. I can't see the others getting a podium. I can't see a way they do, but I can see a way that Gwen does. I don't necessarily think she will. But if she's there off the bike, she can run that well. But when you've got some of these French girls, the German girls, you've got Cassandra Beaugrand and you've got Beth Potter running, you've got to outrun some of them. And you need to be one of the very best runners in the games podium. And I don't see anyone else breaking clear. I think the podium's hard in Yokohama at the moment, personally.
I was about ready to debate with you, Mark, and be like, well, Taylor Spivey and Katie Zafiris and Gwen, all three probably have shots at podiuming. But whenever you explain like being able to run with the likes of Cassandra Beaugrand and Beth Potter,
And a couple of the French girls now and some of the Germans, like the running has got real good in the sport right now.
Yeah. But then the GB team, I guess they're eyeing Cagliari. So you have the U.S. Yeah. team that's focused on Yokohama. So then, I mean, if you're Georgia Taylor Brown or Beth Potter and you're in a sprint, or Beth Potter's already got her slot, right? So if you're...
But like, you can't put all your eggs on Cagliari either, because if it then falls back to the discretionary policy, you need to have put a good showing in through the rest of the year as well. So if you're Sophie Caldwell, Kate Woff, and Georgia Taylor Brown, like you need to put in a good showing in case none of you make it in Cagliari.
Yeah. Yeah. That's anyway. Good.
Let's go to Costco, get some popcorn, and be ready to watch.
It's going to be great, man.
What, the social media fireworks when the American picks come out and certain athletes don't get it? Because that's what the real show is all about.
No, I just think...
Seeing the lawsuits start?
I mean, you're basically going to have... I mean, you got both with Great Britain and the U.S., you really have, you know, three or four women in each nation fighting for the two remaining spots, right? That's the reality. And so it's going to be down to the wire, and this last chunk of racing is going to be incredibly important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is there any races happening between now and Yokohama?
There's some World Cups. You got World Cup Wollongong. But I think that was it. And then the following weekend in the window, that's still important. You know, you've got a World Cup
this in Huatulco that moved up a month earlier. So that'll still be in the Olympic qualifying window for athletes trying to earn a spot outright. So,
yeah.
And is Arena Games this weekend?
No, Arena Games next weekend, the weekend after
Oceanside.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Singapore's in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, Singapore. Yeah. Hey, what do you guys think about hydration? You guys thought about hydration at all this week?
I'm not even going to discuss this.
Oh, God. Is this the Plumin Gatorade no longer sponsors Iron Man? And now we've all got to drink pond water or something. What is it?
So apparently,
we're not sponsored by them, are we? Did I just?
Oh, no.
Sometimes you guys don't tell me when you've got a new sponsor.
Anyone of these people yet? So apparently, the Gatorade partnership has now expired. And so Iron Man is actively looking for a.
Everyone's talking about who it is on Slow Twitch.
Everyone's under the impression that it's Mortal Hydration,
which is the feed's licensed in-house brand. So they have bought a license on the product, but the product's actually owned by someone else. Is that right? And then it's their in-house brand of a bit sachets, normally powdered sachet drink mix. It's just not that big.
The most comical thing about all of it, though, is that people think, and this isn't a dig at Iron Man. People think that Iron Man's going out being like, all right, who's the best nutrition product we could get for all these athletes? No. It's the company with the largest bank account that's knocking on their door saying, we want our products on course. And like, you think that of course, they're going to use a little bit. I do remember in the past they were sponsored from Aleve or Advil or something like that. Yeah. Back. But I mean, guys, come on. It's a sponsorship.
Can I explain how these sponsorships work in Iron Man specifically and how they go about it?
Yeah.
We had a sports agent that would be able to explain this to us.
When you're as big of a group as Iron Man and you have this big of a commercial presence, when these certain categories are up and they believe that there's going to be competition for them, right? So in this case, this is an endemic partnership. They will have multiple parties that they believe will be interested in this. They will request that the companies create an RFP for them, request for proposal. And it will say, you're going to send us what we think, what's the best offer you can do. And then Iron Man will look at those. So they could have said this with two brands. They could have sent it with 12 brands. But when they go about doing a sponsorship like this, it's the brands coming to them with a clear proposal. So I think what I'm assuming Iron Man is trying to navigate is that Gatorade was the highest level of an endemic partner that you could get. Presumably that deal was over seven figures cash, not including the VIK that was provided with it. So remember that Gatorade was sending globally prepackaged water bottles all over the world. So there was a huge logistics component to that agreement as well, where if you're a smaller company like Agu, for instance, to ship gels all around the world is your largest expense. So I think what's really happening here, if I'm reading this, what I'm seeing on Slow Twitch, what we're hearing about, Iron Man is in the process of rebuilding that category. It's my understanding that a contract has not been signed for the hydration space, and they're going to continue to figure that out and look for a partner.
Yeah. And Pat, what is, or maybe Mark could answer this, why is it beneficial for a nutrition company to be the title sponsor at Ironman?
So I guess because people buy the product to use in training. Because
they know it's on the course.
Yeah, because they know it's on the course. And people really, I think it's a little bit old-fashioned. It's glucose and fructose with a bit of flavoring in it. Like, stop being a pussy. It's all the same stuff. Like, you don't need to drink 78 liters of it in your brick session the weekend before to make sure you don't, need some TeleRX products on the run. Like, it's just fructose and glucose. Like, grow up. But no, we all need to spend hundreds and hundreds on Morton and whatever to get us in tune for the race. That's what they're hoping. I'm actually not, that's not the sponsorship I'm most annoyed about this week. Right, Pat. Nora Muir, right? She's a Swiss athlete, did really well at the weekend. She's got 5,000 Instagram followers. I hope she gets more. She seems really talented and good, right? Kat's got about 50,000 sponsors. why, Pat, has she got a McDonald's sponsor and Kat doesn't? Because I want free chicken nuggets.
Yep. Yep. You know what's funny is I had two I won't say I had two athletes. I had one
husband.
I had a husband and then an athlete say the same thing. Hey,
who's
that McDonald's? I want that McDonald's deal. I'm not gonna disclose who the athlete was.
Of course it was Lionel.
Probably
I can't imagine Taylor Nibb banging on for a McDonald's sponsorship, but Lionel, 100%.
Yeah. So what we'll see here a lot of times, because I know an athlete that was sponsored by McDonald's, and it's really these individual chains do have some autonomy. I mean, these are essentially, if you're a franchisee, you're a small business owner essentially, and they do have some autonomy to do some sponsorship. So.
I just thought it was really cool when I saw it in her red suit, the golden arches. Good for her.
Yeah, of course. No.
Mark sent a picture of the golden arches on her suit. I literally just copied the picture, sent it to Lionel, and all Lionel texted back was, already texted Pat about this.
Yeah, my phone was, you know, I'm over here, I'm single dad in it yesterday, and I got my phone blowing up with, why is my wife not sponsored by McDonald's? How can I get sponsored by McDonald's? I'm like, oh my God. So just.
I'll sell for KFC, mate. I'm not picky. Domino's, Papa John's, you know, get working. Anything else on hot takes?
The Sam Long double.
Love it. You hate it, don't you? I love it.
I disagree with it, and this is why I disagree with it, because I believe, and Magnus, I know you're listening right now. I want you to put on your earmuffs or take your headphones out. I believe Sam could win Singapore. I truly do. And I just don't think you should half-ass it. And I believe, too, that Sam could bag some good points. He's already had a second place. He could go get a W in Singapore. I just think he's getting greedy. He had a great result, and he's like, I'm going to walk into Oceanside, bag a W, and head to Singapore. So,
yeah, you make a good point.
Although, to give Sam any credit, there was an athlete. I don't even need to mention his name last year. He was actually on the other side of the world and raced 2 days prior to Singapore. And then he did pretty decent, got on a plane, flew all the way there, arrived like the morning of the race and still whipped everyone's ass. So
he has a little bit more performance margin to play with than Sam had. Like he was by far the best athlete in that race, whereas Sam would need to beat Magnus. And they appear to be peers with different strengths at the moment.
Yeah, fair. Well, with that being said, I do hope that I am wrong, but there's only one place that you will hear me talk about it, as well as all of us, as we eat all of our words next week, and that's on our pod. Thanks so much for listening this week. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. We are super, super excited to be back. Regular show. We should be streaming some awesome podcasts this year. Going to be a great year of racing. We're still looking for a sponsor. Pat, there's McDonald's all over the world. They could sponsor our 4 days for racing this summer. We're still looking for a sponsor for that. So if you want to sponsor our 4 days for triathlons, London, Paris, that would be amazing. But with that being said, we'll be back at it next week doing the Oceanside recap. See you next week. Peace out.